Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret It's Prayer podcast. And today's segment is called, the title is The Resurrection and the Life. Okay, Logan, you want to get us started?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us be here today, for letting us study your word, open our minds and our hearts so that we can understand and let it all sink in and give us the right words so that we can teach others and share others your resurrection and your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so today we're doing John 11 and 12. So, and it's where Jesus does a seventh sign and he, Lazarus, dies and he resurrects him. So I'm just going to jump right in. Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And it was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sister sent a message to him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And Jesus, all through, you know, if you reread Tony's notes and the commentaries on there, it talks about how Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Like, he was very close to them. And they're mentioned, I believe, in certain several of the Gospels, maybe in all of them. But it makes you wonder, because you know how it says how he loved John? And he... was it John or James? Yeah. John. Mm-hmm. And how he must have been, for people to notice that, like, it makes me wonder how he must have been, you know, with them, that he, that them. People would say that, you know?
Yeah.
When Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after that, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." So when they come to Jesus to tell him that Lazarus, you know, the one you love is sick, Jesus decides, he delays it. Right. He delays it. He decides to stay two more days. And I was thinking, you know, like he delays it 2 days and only we don't know why. Right. Sometimes we're in the same place and we're like, how can where is he? Right. Where is he that he's not here? And because they were so close to Jesus and they knew that Jesus loved them. You know, I think that they were kind of blindsided. Like, they weren't worried about it, you know? Well, he hadn't showed up. He was late, but I don't think they really worried. I don't think they were expecting him to die. Like, they weren't really worried about it because they're like, hey, we're with Jesus. We know he healed. We know he can heal.
Right.
You know, and he loves us. So I'm thinking that maybe they're not even really worrying, you know?
Right.
And I can relate to that, to where I was before, like, well, I know God, I pray, you know, like, I'm okay, I'm safe, you know, where I had that comfort. And so I'm going to keep reading. Rabbi, the disciples told him, "Just now the Jews tried to stone you and you're going there again," because in Judea, they had already tried to kill Jesus. They had already tried to stone him. So the disciples didn't want to go back. They didn't think it was safe to go back. And Jesus replies, "Aren't there 12 hours in a day?" Jesus answered, "If anyone walks during the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks during the night, he does stumble because the light is not in him." He said this, and then he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way to wake him up." So he tells them, you know, Lazarus has fallen asleep. And then one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well." Jesus, however, was speaking about his death, but they thought he was speaking about natural sleep. So Jesus then told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And then he says, I'm glad for you that I wasn't there so that you may believe, but let's go to him. So Jesus is like, you know, Lazarus is dead, but I'm glad that I wasn't there. So I think I'd be like, wait a minute. What do you mean? You're glad that he wasn't there. But I think if, you know, we're going to, as we keep reading, then we're going to learn that Jesus is glad, but because now he's going to get to show them what he can do, you know,
right. That so they can truly believe.
So they can truly believe because they're seeing him heal the people, but compared to resurrecting
mm-hmm.
someone right. who has died, you know, like that's a huge difference, you know. Yep. And I think if we think about, you know, when we think about, you know, our marriage is dead, our career is dead, you know, the sickness, you know, that's, I'm not going to be able to beat, you know, or get better, you know, and then not only that, but you're calling Jesus and there's a delay, you're not hearing from him, you know,
mm-hmm.
But now you can see where Jesus, you know, we've been talking about how create the space for Jesus to work in. And now that makes sense here where he says, he's dead, but I'm glad that I wasn't there, you know? So I think if we think about it, you know, my marriage is dead and you're probably not thinking to be glad about that, you know, like that's the last thing from your mind, but now that's creating the space for Jesus. And I'm thinking how glad it made Jesus that we gave him the space to work in ours, you know, because now he was able to show himself in our restorations, you know, and in yours even and in mine and all the things that he's done for us already from all the things that we've seen in all these last couple of years when we thought that
he wasn't here.
That he wasn't here and that things were gone. You know, that's it, that they were dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I'll keep reading. The resurrection and the life. When Jesus arrived.
I'm going to stop you real quick because I just wanted to add, because you didn't read the last part where it says, then Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too, so that we may die with him. So I was going to say, if you brought that up, because Thomas is the one who didn't believe.
Resurrected,
right?
Right. And you know,
so he was there when Lazarus
was resurrected. So, and he still doubted when I hadn't even caught that. Well, yeah.
But
and you know, they call him the twin because he looked like Jesus.
Really?
Yeah. That they called them. Then Thomas called twin that because he looked like Jesus. That's what I found. And, that he said, you know, that he said to let's go too so that we may die with him, because he figured we're going back to Judea, they're gonna catch us, they're gonna kill us, you know,
so
because
that's what he was talking about.
That's what he was talking about
with Jesus,
with Lazarus. So Lazarus is already dead. So Jesus is saying we're going back to, you know, they're not thinking he's gonna resurrect Lazarus. They're thinking, well, let's go back. We're going to die with him, you know, because when we go back, they're going to stone us too, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was like, wow, he was right there. And he
didn't even catch that. I was paying more attention because I saw called twin. I was like, wait a minute. Why was he called a twin? So I didn't even catch that it was Thomas.
Yeah,
that's true, because he was, that's doubting Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll keep reading. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And you know, how many times have we done that? God, had you been here, this wouldn't have happened. You know, God, I would, if you'd been here, you know, my daughter and my son wouldn't be straying. God, if you'd been here, you know, my husband wouldn't, you know, this or that. So I think there where she says, Lord, have you been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But then she says, yet even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And that shows her faith, because she says, yet even now, you know, and that's where we all need to get that, even though, you know, things didn't go the way we expected them to, that even then we should hang on to our faith, you know, because a delay does not mean his denial.
Right.
Okay, so your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And here, you know, I am. And I think he says it a couple times in these chapters. I am, you know, again, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world. So here, you know, we have her proclaiming, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Because remember, not all of them are proclaiming that, as we learned right. when we did Peter and Judas. Judas would never proclaim that or say that. Judas would never, he would just call him teacher. He never confessed that God, that he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And, but see how Jesus asked her, do you believe this? Like he wanted to hear her say it. Do you believe this? And I think we get to that point too, you know, when our faith is in doubt, when we're questioning things or well, we don't understand, you know, do you believe this? Like, do you believe that Jesus is going to show up? So he asks her, do you believe? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe you. So having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. To Mary. As soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw that Mary got up quickly and went out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. As soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Again, you know,
mm-hmm.
When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. Lord, they told him, come and see. Jesus wept, you know, and when I was reading the commentaries on these, there was so much where they had overanalyzed Jesus wept, just those two words, Jesus wept. Like they couldn't believe that Jesus just wept, you know, because we forget that he was fully man
and fully human.
And, you know, I mean, that he was fully man and fully divine. Mm-hmm. And Jesus wept. And we're reading here how much he loved all of them, you know. And I believe here that Jesus just, that he felt, their grief, that he just felt, you know, because remember, he knows our hearts. And in order to know our hearts, then he's constantly checking our hearts, you know. And I think when he does that, he places himself in our hearts and he feels what we feel. You know, if we're feeling hate, then he knows we're feeling hate. You know, he feels that hate. If we're feeling, you know, anxious or feeling fear and all that, he places himself there and he feels that. So he genuinely feels what's in our hearts. So that's why he constantly says, I know what's in your heart. I go by what's in your heart. You know, I search their hearts. So I believe here that he wept because he felt the grief that Mary and Martha were feeling for Lazarus. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying? The the seventh sign. Then Jesus deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Remove the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there's already a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Okay, and then I think for us too, like, how many things do we have that we've already put away in the tomb and we think there's no resurrecting and there's a stench there?
Right.
You know, we're like, nope, that's gone. It's dead. There's no resurrecting it. That's it, you know? But are we willing to roll away that stone? You know, are we willing to show Jesus, you know, where it is, what it is that we really need resurrected, you know, that but because we've given up on it.
Right.
And he tells him, remove the stone, you know, and maybe too, like, remove the stone, our stony hearts, you know, where our hearts have gotten so hard that he's mm-hmm. like, remove the stone, you know, to give him the room and the space that he needs to work on what we think is too late to save. So Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there's already a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me. After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go. So he prays to God, you know, he prays to God and he shouts out in a loud voice, you know, Lazarus, come out. So are we willing to pray to God, you know, and to pray to Jesus and to cry out so that he can say, so Jesus can say, you know, whatever is dead to us, you know, come out. Are we willing to remove that stone and pray with Jesus so that he can ask God and pray for us too and say, come out, you know, marriage, come out, you know, that sickness go away and, you know, that health come out.
Right.
So that to me was just like, I've read that story a million times, but it was just so different to me this time. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and were saying, what are we going to do since this man is doing many signs? If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe. So it's not that they didn't believe that he resurrected Lazarus. They saw he resurrected Lazarus, you know, but they still, even then, still, they wanted to stop from everyone else believing in him.
Right.
They didn't want to share that, you know, they, even then, so at that point, in their hearts, like, there's, you know how we talked about last time, how there, some people just, you know, they don't want to accept Jesus. They don't want to believe. And here they're believing. They're not denying that he raised Lazarus because they were there and they saw it. Now they're like, well, how are we going to stop this from spreading and letting other people find out and so that they believe, you know?
Yeah.
And one of them,
because those are his people, you know, like, those are his people and they should want to shout for joy and have everyone come and believe him, you know, believe it.
And it's a resurrection. He raised somebody from the dead. And I mean, what more do you need to see? You know, that you're not believing that he's in front of you, that he's doing this and that you need to change your life, that everything else that he said is true too.
Right.
But
that just goes to show where the Pharisees and the chief priests, you know, they changed the rules their way. They changed everything to suit them, you know, instead of continuing to obey God and keep his laws. They changed it to make it fit for them.
Instead right. of the they wanted them. To keep it just like it was, where they're right. in control, you yeah. know, and they're in control of the people and they're, you know,
they'll lose that control.
Yeah. They'll lose all of that and they'll lose their place, you know, because these right. are, they, you know, you had those that were, they were, it's like they were being praised because they were priests, you know, and they didn't want to lose that. They didn't want them to follow, right. stop following them and that they follow, start following Jesus.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Okay. So even though they were trying to stop Jesus, you know, a lot of people came to believe, a lot of people who knew Lazarus and knew Mary and Martha and that were there, that they saw, then they believed even more. And then the news started to spread, you know, about Lazarus. So here was another great sign.
Right.
okay. So I'm going to move on to chapter 12. So this was 6 days before the Passover. So it was getting closer to where Jesus was going to be taken and be crucified. So it was 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And this is where Mary takes the perfume and washes Jesus' feet with it and with her hair, dries it with her hair. So she's at Jesus' feet and she's honoring him, you know, for what he did. She's praising him for what he did. And then Judas, the one who later betrays Jesus, gets mad. And he tells her, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And here's where we learned that Judas is already stealing from the money bag, because it reads, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. So he was already a thief and he was already stealing from the money bag. Jesus answers, leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial, for you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. And that's just another reminder that, you know,
his time was coming.
That Jesus' time was coming, but for us too, he's saying, you will not always have me. Because if you remember in Genesis 6:3, he says, the spirit will not always strive with man. So the Holy Spirit is not always going to be trying to get you to believe, you know. I mean, there's, because whenever we're not believing in him, when we're not, you know, the Holy Spirit is constantly, you know, at us to get us to believe, you know, and to right. get us to change, right, and to notice Jesus, because we're sinners, right? We're sinners, and I think all of us here can relate to that, where we were rejecting Jesus, where we weren't seeing
right
really where we were, and the Holy Spirit is constantly, you know, biting at our ankles, right, and trying to get us to see that, to see the light. And and I think here, you know, not only is he telling them that the time for his death is coming, for his crucifixion, but for us too, that we will not always have him, you know. We eventually run out of time.
Well, and I think it does say, right? I mean, God eventually will turn his face from those who
reject him.
Right, who keep rejecting him. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about that just like with the ark, you know, Noah told everyone.
Oh, that's right.
On,
yeah.
Come on. And then once that door closes, the Holy Spirit or like.
The seal. Once the seal is put on the door. Yeah, that's it. You're locked out. Yep.
Right. So that makes a lot of sense, because that didn't make sense to me. And like that, you know,
and that way, right?
Right.
Then, because remember, in these and all of these, the chapters that we've read, he keeps bringing up the talking about the future, because he's already seen And I think we've learned that too, as we read scripture, he's not always talking about right now, but he's talking about what's coming. You know, right. He's not always talking about the present, but about what's right. coming.
And you think so. Here too, he was specifically talking to Judas because he already knew what Judas was going to do and that his heart was already hard and blind, you know? So in a way, do you think he was telling him like, you're not always going to have me?
I think to all of them that were there and that were listening to them, but especially Judas, because that was, he told that directly to Judas, but I think all of them who heard it, you know, because in these scriptures, the ones that we're reading today, it says more than once that the disciples did not understand until they went back and read everything he has said. And then they were like, oh, that's why he said this and this and this. It wasn't until after he was resurrected that several things happened that they're like, oh, that's what he was talking about. And you know, because remember when he talks about the temple,
right?
That the temple would be, and they're like, oh, he was talking his about body. Himself, that he would be. So they start putting the pieces together. And
but it does make sense now too, when he, because the Holy Spirit wasn't among them yet until he resurrected. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like us too. I think when we try to read the Bible, we're not into don't understand it. We're just going to put it aside. Mm-hmm. But now we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit breathe into us. And so it's easier to
understand it, right?
I'm still learning. Yeah.
Well, I think we never stop learning. Like once you start, I think there's no stopping, right?
That's why I corrected myself. Right. Because sometimes I think we've talked about that. We can read scripture and then you go back and read the exact same line and you take it totally in a different way.
Totally different. Yeah.
And how it's wonderful. That's where
you. And I think that's why they say like the Bible is alive. It's alive. You know, it's always because you're always learning from it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then a large crowd of the Jews learned he was there. They came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests had decided to kill Lazarus also because he was the reason many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus. So they were deserting the Jews and, you know, those priests and all that stuff. And they were starting to follow Jesus. So now we're at the triumphal entry. The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. So here, you know, Jesus, and we talked about this too, Jesus comes on a young, small donkey, you know, but he comes in peace. You know, he comes as not as a king, you know, a king with a huge army or on a, you know, huge horse or this, you know, grand, you know, chariot or anything like that. It's a very humble entrance, you know.
And if you think about it too, like I'm sure the way he was dressed, they weren't fancy, they weren't clean,
right?
You know.
Yep. They had been traveling and all that. He didn't, mm-hmm. you know, and he knew what was coming, you know, and still here he comes, you know, in the most humble way.
And you can think back to the moment that he entered this world. He was born in a manger, you know.
Yes.
In a dirty place, you know, where he deserved to come in. You know,
if anyone deserved a grand entrance, right, it was him. Yes, and
not just here, but when he was born. Yeah.
So, and then here it reads, his disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. So you see, they start piecing the things together after he was glorified. Meanwhile, the crowd which had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. So it was mission accomplished. You know, he had a lot of believers, even though they were trying to stop him. His ministry continued, and he was calling his people to him, you know, his sheep. Jesus predicts his crucifixion. Now some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the festival. So they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and requested of him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus then replied to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now remember, he kept saying, "It's not yet my hour, it's not yet my hour." And now here he's saying, "It is, my hour has come." And because the guy that comes looking for Jesus, that he says, "I've come to see Jesus," he's from Galilee. So it was once the Galileans started following him and looking for him that he says, "Okay, my hour has come." Kind of like his mission is complete, you know, because it wasn't just the Jews. It wasn't just, you know, those that that were there. Yeah, in Israel, like he was, it was the Galileans. Like he remembered that he was going to call his sheep, and there were some from different pens, remember?
Right.
But it was all one flock. So once the Galileans started believing and looking for him and following him, then he says, "Now my hour has come."
And the Galileans, would that be considered Gentiles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Jesus replied to them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour, but that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." So here Jesus, you know, he says, "My soul is troubled," because his crucifixion, he knows what's coming. So he already, you know,
his anxiety is starting to,
thoughts. And we forget that part, you know, we forget that because we think, you know, he's Jesus. He didn't feel all of that. But I think that's why, you know, when people preach and they say, well, Jesus knows, you know, he went through all of that. He knows what it's like to be, anxious. He knows what it's like to feel pain. He knows what it's like, you know, and yeah, it's written here how he was troubled, you know, and I can only imagine. When you know what's coming, or even when you don't know what's coming, you know?
And that's what I was going to say. I think, you know, for like me going to God, it was, you know, one of those decisions, like he said, you have to go through that fire to get to the other side. Jesus knew what was on the other side, you know? And for us, we had to learn through the fire of what's on the other side.
Right.
The joy, you know, having God in our lives, having Jesus, because when I first started, yes, you know, it was okay, but I didn't know how much my heart would grow for Jesus. You know what I mean? Like you hear everyone talking and now it's like, I get more excited and more excited and more excited, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And it's, but I, and too, like it's, you can, knowing that he was, even though he struggled on how he called to God, you know, he called to God and he prayed to God to help him, let your will be done. You know that. And then where God tells them, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." Because he had already glorified God. Remember when they heard the voice, the first time was when he was baptized. Mm-hmm. With John, and then and now here again, "I will glorify it again," you know, when he was going to be crucified. So that, you know, so God never leaves us.
No.
The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus responded, "This voice came not for me but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate what kind of death he was about to die. Then the crowd replied to him, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So it's like, still, who is the Son of Man?
Right.
And Jesus answered, "The light will be with you only a little longer. Walk while you have the light so that darkness doesn't overtake you." And he keeps saying that, you know, while the light is here, while the light is here, and there's only so many hours in the day, and to, you know, work in the day and all that. Because I think too, he's trying to say like, hey, you have a purpose, you know, do what God has you on this earth to do, you know, stop wasting time.
Right.
Stop wasting time and use the light while the light is here, you know, because things can get darker. Things can get, don't wait for them to get dark.
Right.
You know, like do what God has sent you here to do.
Right.
Believe in the light so that you may believe, become children of the light. Jesus said this, then went away and hid from them. Isaiah's prophecies fulfilled. Even though he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, who said, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" This is why they were unable to believe, because Isaiah also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they would not see with their eyes or understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." So here again, we see that, you know, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, but he, you know, he doesn't harden your heart until it's already been, until we've already been hardened our hearts. So that's not something that he forces on us. Again, he knows what's in your heart. He checks your heart. And there were some people that just weren't, their hearts weren't changing.
No.
Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many did believe in him, even among the rulers. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, so that they would not be banned from the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. So you had the people there who believed in God, who liked going to the synagogue, who praised God in the synagogue. But here you have God walking with you. You have Jesus walking with you. And they're like, well, no, we want to go to the center. You know, it's like, you're missing it. You know, you're missing it. And I think we have to be careful there too, that you don't miss God and all that stuff, you know, and all the worldly stuff, because he's walking, you know, among us, and you can totally miss him.
Because we did for so many years.
Yes. Totally, man. It's like, Jesus cried out, "The one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a command to say everything I have said. I know that his command is eternal life. So the things that I speak just as the Father has told me." And, you know, he cried, this is like his last cry out, like he's trying, you know, he's crying out and he's telling them, like, you know, the one who believes in me believes not in me, but the one who sent me. And it's just, they just weren't getting it, you know.
No. And these are people who claim to be followers of God.
Right. Who know, a lot of them who knew the, did know the word, you know, they knew about him, but, you know, to know God is not to have him, you know, and it's the same, to know the resurrection and the life is not to have the resurrection and the life, you know.
And I think that's where, you know, I'm trying to think of like a good way to explain it, because, you know, for so many years, I think we talked about this, going to church, just like them, synagogue, you have to go to church to get his word. You have to go to church to learn, but gosh, it's really not. It's right here in our hands, the Bible. His living word is where we can learn truly of, you know, Jesus and God and what he's done and what he keeps doing for all of us, you know?
Yep. And, you know, a true believer doesn't fear death because Jesus has overcome death.
Victory over death.
Like he did here, where he was able to resurrect Lazarus, you know, and where he was resurrected after his crucifixion. We believe that in our hearts. So we have, you know, Jesus in our hearts, and we have that resurrection and the life in our hearts. We believe that. So we don't, you know, for us, death is just a transition. And I think when you can get there, because it's not easy, you know, and I like that the disciples didn't also understand. For those that don't understand, don't give up and keep trying, because I can remember being there.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you stick to it and you stay in it until you do understand, then you won't be afraid of death, you know, and you won't. And then all the things in our lives won't seem dead, you know, not just someone's life, but like we were saying, when you think your marriage is dead, when you think your career is dead, when you think that, you know,
your relationship with your kids or.
Yes, exactly. Those important relationships for us, when you think that those things are dead, those are opportunities for Jesus to show himself. And it's just a transition. It's a transition. Like he says here, you have to, you know, you have to lose your life to live it. So it's just a transition. Yeah, that part of it might have had to die, but to be resurrected new and better.
Right. And it's scary. It's scary. But I think once you get that relationship with him, you're right. The fear, he outweighs the fear completely.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
He outweighs the fear for sure.
And you almost have that excitement of what's to come, you know, because when you've seen what he can do, then there's that little seed of excitement of, wow, what's he going to do with this? You know,
yeah. Well, but like sometimes he said, it could be discouraging when you know what he can do, but you're not there yet. And
well, when he's delayed, well, if he's delayed, right? Because if you're where he's delayed, like he takes longer, then yeah. We're like, hey, man, forget it. It's dead. It stinks.
Yeah.
You know?
That's where you have to be like Martha and just truly put your faith no matter what, you know?
Right. And say, I believe, because he's going to ask you, do you believe? You know, he's going to show up and he's going to ask you, do you believe? And you have to be ready to say, yes, I believe.
I yeah.
You know, so that he can get all the glory and he can resurrect it.
Right. Right. Yep. But don't give up. Don't give up.
Don't give up. Stay in it.
It's easier said than done, but trust me, the hard work will pay off. And there is definitely bigger and better at the end of that fire.
Yeah. And we're strong. We're stronger than we think, you know, and like we said in our last one, he doesn't, even if you let go, he won't.
Exactly.
So you bet you have our closing prayer.
I do. I need to find the page.
Sorry. Is that the end for John?
No, we still have.
So we're still going to continue. Okay.
Yes, we're going to finish all of John. We're going to complete all of John. I think there's 21 chapters. Yeah. And we're on.
So we'll keep going.
We just finished 12. Yeah. We just finished 12.
Okay, Yvette, did you?
Yes. And I'll be reading from Romans chapter 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God throughout our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also receive in our afflictions, because we know that afflictions produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen.
Amen. Perfect. Endurance.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. And we'll see you next week on the Secret is Prayer podcast.